This is Anodized. On this episode, we'll be discussing platform tribalism. I'm Clinton Phillips, and joining me on this episode is John Chichi. How's it going, John?
It's going good. How's it going, Clinton?
Not too bad.
Fantastic. So we're going to talk about tribes and stuff. So are you going to have get the war paint out and all that sort of thing?
No. What we're talking about is platform tribalism.
Yeah, that's just like, you know, diving platforms that have got war paint on them or something. Because it's like no.
I think the first thing that we need to do is, for the purposes of this discussion, is define platforms.
I just did.
It's then define tribalism.
Oh, okay, right. And that's the war paint. There you go. What do you want? All right, I'll be serious. I promise.
Okay.
Right. So, platforms.
The sorts of platforms that we're talking about on this episode are tech platforms. Now, mostly what we mean by this is operating system, but that also includes hardware. So, you know, the underlying stuff like processor and graphics card and shit like that.
Yeah.
And the tribalism part, we didn't talk about this before we started the show, but do you reckon we should limit this to just the users of the platforms, or should we be including the people who develop the platforms as well? So if we're going to talk about iOS and Android later on, should we be including Tim Cook's snipes at Android when he gets up on stage at WWDC?
Yes.
Right. Okay. So tribalism. Tim Cook is the tribe leader, and all us users, we're the tribesmen.
Cool. Well, the thing is, it's funny because I sort of think when you describe it like that, it sounds a little bit simplistic. But the funny thing is, it's actually pretty accurate because
yeah.
When the whole tribalism thing, you'll always have fanboys, but the fanboys get driven by this fuel on the fire. There's a little bit of a nudge in the right direction.
Yeah,
and there's always going to be playful competition, maybe sometimes not so playful, pretty intense competition, you know. And when that happens, you know, the fanboys will see that and follow that. Or people that perhaps you would say originally weren't fanboys for a particular platform will sort of like latch onto that and say, oh, it's that we're railing against IBM today or whatever. You know, well, 20 years ago they were. Now today we're going to go rail against Google.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, because Steve Jobs said, you know, this don't be evil thing is bullshit.
Yeah.
You know,
or whatever he said. Steve said a lot of things.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? So, yeah, well, now, you know, it's, now, of course, it's Timbo. So, it's just, yeah, you're right. And everyone, even though we don't look at Tim Cook, you know, or formerly Steve Jobs as like the Apple cult leader. Whether they intend to be, where they want to be, inevitably that seems to be what ends up happening.
Yeah.
Which is, this is a bit disturbing, really.
Well, they're the public face of the company. So if they want to stand up there and, you know, used to be Steve Jobs taking shots at Windows and Microsoft, you know, rep and start your photocopiers.
That's true. So they set it up. And then all the little tribesmen, interesting image in my mind there, following along afterwards.
Yes.
But yes. So I guess that kind of leads in. I know we always do talk a lot about Apple and Microsoft, actually.
Mm.
And I guess that's kind of natural, seeing as how they're some of the dominant players in the game. So maybe we start with those platforms, do you think?
Well, I thought perhaps we might do a rundown of some more notable platform rivalries over the time.
Yeah, sure.
So the ones that we're going to devote the most time to on this episode are Mac versus Windows and iOS versus Android. But in the gaming world, there's also been Nintendo versus Sega, Nintendo versus PlayStation, Xbox versus PlayStation, that's still going. And then there's the console versus PC. And then if you're going into photography, well, it always seems to be Canon versus Nikon. I haven't seen any other sort of rivalries in that field. And then going back to the PC for the moment, there was Intel versus AMD for a while, and you still get that, but you don't really see too many AMD supporters out there.
No. What have they done lately?
Yeah, well,
Intel crushed them.
There's not too many of them causing shit fights at the moment. But what will happen is if you do go out and buy yourself an AMD processor, which I have an AMD in my PC, well, you'll inevitably get people who had Intel ones. Oh, why didn't you just get the Intel one? It's better. And it's, well, AMD was cheaper. I was on a budget. Fuck you.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, yeah, exactly. No, I had a Cyrix back in the day too, but they're gone now. But and they were even cheaper.
And so the other one that I have on my list, which is not really tech related at all, but Holden versus Ford, because why not?
Well, absolutely. I mean, and we're both Aussies, so we know what Holden is. And if you're not, too bad. So where do you want to start then? Which platform shall we start discussing first?
Well, let's talk Mac versus Windows, because that
near and dear to our hearts and frustrations, probably.
Well, I think that's possibly the most memorable and the longest lasting sort of platform rivalry. Could you think of any other like computer platforms that had it out for each other, like Mac versus Windows, or?
Well, it was OS2 Warp and DOS. No, that didn't last long.
well, that's it. So, you know, there were lots and lots of different platforms out there, but over time, it got boiled down to, let's say, three. Only two of them mattered. And that's where the big shit fight comes in.
Oh, sure. But, I mean, what point do you draw the line now? Because you could argue that System 6, System 7, that kind of thing, they have very similar code base and so on. But once you then cross to OS 10, or as it's correctly pronounced, OS X, anyway, that's kind of similar to the DOS to Windows transition. Where DOS 3.11 was run on top of Windows 3.11 was run on top of DOS 6.22, usually. And by the time you and Windows 95 and Windows 98, by the time you get to Windows 2000 and Windows ME and Windows XP, then it's now moved away from DOS, and DOS is running essentially within Windows.
It's all based on the NT kernel.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a similar transition. So we say it was the longest running rivalry, but was it really? I mean, it was in terms of like a platform, I guess, from a company platform point of view.
Yeah.
But from a code base point of view, it really wasn't quite that long. So, yes. But anyway, it's okay. It's not all about... Yeah, because if you look at Nintendo and... some of their competitors, it's a combined platform. It's the hardware and it's the software.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be exactly the same software in order for it to count as a platform, I suppose. So, all right. So where do we begin? I guess you begin with why you would choose one over the other. And I just want to come out of the blocks by saying that I've been stuck with Windows for so long and I've grown to loathe it because it keeps breaking my shit. basically, and yeah, it's not all bad. Don't get me wrong. And Windows 7 was the first version of Windows that I actually didn't want to murder. Not that you can actually murder software because it was never alive. But if it were alive, I would have wanted to murder it. Seething rage, that kind of thing. And but honestly, Windows 8 stepped backwards for me. But Windows 7 was pretty
much.
Yeah, Windows 7 was pretty good, to be honest. Yeah. But XP, I spent so much time with XP, and it's been so terrible.
Everybody spent so much time with XP.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And the company I'm working for at the moment still uses XP.
Oh, fuck off.
I'm not kidding. My laptop boots up into Windows XP. And takes 10 minutes to do so. And I take my MacBook Air and I fire it up and it's going and I'm going within 5 seconds. It's so like
probably Windows XP would take 10 minutes to boot even if you
put it on an SSD.
Put it on an SSD. You'd be like, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's the laptop I checked, the specs, like it's a 4200 or something RPM. It's stupid slow, 4600, I forget. It's stupid slow. It's not even 5000 RPM, it's less. Yeah. It's less than that. So it's super, super crummy, cheap-ass crap laptop. Doesn't help, but, you know, anyway, all right. So...
I think that was a bit of an example of tribalism right there.
Yeah, you're right. I got passionate about that shit. Because it evokes that emotion because of all those hours of frustration, mate. It's like I've uninstalled and reinstalled XP so many times I cannot, could not count if I tried. I mean, it'd be in the hundreds of times in my life. Yeah, and I'm just one person. And I'll admit some of it was, you know, installing it on customer hardware when I was, you know, putting, you know, computer systems out there and SCADA systems and so on. Even if I took those out of it, my own personal computers between mine, my wife's, the kids over the years, on and off, you know, it would still be in the hundreds easily that I've reinstalled it. And I could count the number of times I've reinstalled, like specifically for the whole purpose of reinstall to fix problems on a Mac, I've probably done it maybe... four times in 6 years. You just don't need to do it. Yeah, and some people say, oh, you should do it to, it'll make it go faster. Yeah, and maybe it does for a little while. But honestly, nowadays with SSDs, I just don't see the I don't see any difference. But anyway.
No.
But you're right. I'm getting emotional about it because it's just been so much angst and frustration over the years that I've become very anti Windows.
Yeah. Well, I think perhaps because you were a user and you know, you've gone through and dealt with all that, maybe that's not tribalism, but me ragging on XP certainly is.
Well, why would you say that your ragging on it is tribalistic, but mine isn't? I'm not getting the difference because I think you actually have a point that I thought mine was.
I've never installed it for personal use. The only times that I've used it is at school and at work, and on my uncle's computer. So I'm merely borrowing someone else's computer who happens to have Windows XP installed. So that's my experience there. So I'm coming as a Mac user onto a Windows computer, and I'm going, God, this is fucking shit. And then there's you who's actually, you've gone out and you've either bought a copy or a copy came with your computer and that's what you're running. And then, you know, you over the years have built up all of these, you've got all these complaints with it and you just go, this was a terrible operating system.
Yeah.
And I think that's more genuine than me because I haven't had to, I'm just a passerby. Where if you're like deep down in it, you're like in the mud with XP.
Yeah, well, this is true, and I guess that the thing is that the ways into that tribalistic attitude, you could be there because you buy into the bullshit. You know, like God, this is just the best way to do computing.
Yeah,
it's like why? Oh, because it just works. Someone said that over and over, so now I believe it.
Yeah,
you know, as opposed to, you know, geez, what's Microsoft's mantra? Windows everywhere? Shit, I don't even know anymore. But you know, they don't say taglines like that I can think of at the top of my head.
I don't think they do.
No, and maybe that's why Apple's. You know, I say Apple's being successful. What percentage of computers are actually Macs? So you know,
very few of them.
Yeah, I mean, statistics still say that, you know, Microsoft's kicking their ass. So I don't know, but yeah, it's the whole mind share versus market share argument, and I don't want to go down that road. I mean, who cares? Yeah. But the point is that the tribalistic attitude, I guess you can be driven there, like I was, through frustration, or you can be attracted to it because there's other intangible things that either are true or you believe are true. And you overlook the bad stuff. And I guess that's the other thing is the whole tribalistic thing is it's overlooking all the bad stuff. It's like, oh, there's all these things that I don't like about, you know, the Mac or or Windows, and I'm just going to ignore them because I'm part of this tribe here. I'm part of the whole, I'm in the cult of Apple, and therefore I'm just going to ignore the things that piss me off. You know, I mean, there's plenty of things about OS X that pisses me off. You know, but it's just one of those things that it's a net benefit. So I sort of like, I lump it and I'm like, yeah, okay, well, it's still better than Windows.
Well, I swear all that I do on Twitter is just complain about Macs. And I'm a Mac
user. You complain about everything.
Yeah, I complain about everything. It's like...
And that's why people should follow you.
if there's anything that I don't like about OS X or... very few complaints about the hardware that I actually have, but it's mostly software that I'm complaining about. And I've got no hesitation in complaining about the stuff that I use. And part of the reason that I have so many complaints about it is because I'm using it all the time. It'd be rare that you find me complain about Windows because... I don't use it all that often. I'm using a lot more now because I have a gaming PC. But, you know, I'm always complaining about Mac stuff. And it's only when I go to use Windows that it's like, oh, I've got to complain about Windows. But,
well, here's an idea then. The expression goes, familiarity breeds contempt. And this is the thing. The thought occurs to me, I wonder, you know, is it the case that we choose to dissect to pieces all the things that we actually use the most. You know, and so therefore we see all the flaws in the things we use the most because we're, you know, focused on them all the time.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly believe that.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what I do.
Yeah. So if that's the case, well, I mean, wow, right? Because, I mean, if you're part of a tribe and then you're railing against that tribe... Well, geez, hang on. Yeah, I mean, shouldn't
I'm
you
a dissenter.
Yeah, I mean, you should be voted off the fucking island, man. You're gone. That's it. It's time to go. I don't know. It's an interesting idea, though, isn't it? Because it's almost like for as a geek, I find that I'm very jeez, I don't want this to sound wrong, but I don't care. I think that most geeks are platform whores, right? And the reason I say that is because we're always on the lookout for the next best thing, you know, the next big thing. Like, we will always adopt because there's got this one killer feature, or maybe not one, but several killer features. You know, we'll say lock in. Ah, fuck the lock in. What I'm going to do is I'm going to write 10 different scripts across 5 different apps. To export here, import there, subtract that, add that, merge this, and then re-export and re-import here. That was easy. Now I've changed platforms, you know? And I know I'm pointing at each and every person listening to this. If you're a geek, I know that you've done that at least once. You've done it. I know you've done it. You know? And you're searching through Google for those help articles. How do I export from Mail to Entourage? And then, so we'll go via Thunderbird and I'm going to get this importing tool. And then I'm going, oh, I know. We've got to put this the PST file across onto Windows. Then once we do the conversion and export, then we've got to re-import it on a Mac. Okay. You've done it. I know you've done it. Anyway, my point is, why am I getting that? Why am I even going down that road? The reason is that, you know, we will switch once we feel the balance has shifted enough and we don't mind all the fucking around it takes to switch platforms. So I know a lot of people that have started on iOS and wanted something that has more flexibility. I've said, you know, Apple's too restrictive, I'm off to Android.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people exactly like that.
Yeah. And then I also know a subset of those people that are on Android for a few months and then sell their phone and go back to an iPhone because they're like, this sucks. And so, you know, it's kind of...
I don't know any of those people, by the way.
What, have gone back?
No, none of the... all of my friends that have had iPhones, they jumped on... with the iPhone 3GS bandwagon. And as soon as their 2-year plan ran out, it's like, fuck this, going to Android. And they've never come back.
Yeah, okay. See, I honestly have had a mixture of experiences with other people. And some people just love Android, but they don't love Android. You know what I mean? They love the phones with the bigger screens, or they're brighter outside, or they've got a better camera, or it's usually hardware features that they're interested in, not the software.
Yeah.
The software has to be usable, and Android's reached that point where it is. But I guess that's, not wishing to dissect the pros and cons of the specifics of each of the platforms, but the point is that we're prepared to whore ourselves out to whichever is the best one at the time. And it's like, I'm done with iOS X, it's time to move on. Or iOS, it's time to move on.
I'm switching to Linux.
Go to Linux. Just don't ask me for help. Because, I had fun setting up my tech distortion. I moved it over to CentOS Linux, I think it was version 6. And, man, that was fun. That was, it's a learning curve on that. God. Anyway, never mind that. All right, so the whole thing with this, the tribalism, though, is in the scenario where you're a user and you love your device, this is where you get into the bullshit with peer pressure. And this has happened to me a lot in the last few years, now that Android's become more dominant than iOS. And I'll walk in and I'll pull out my iPhone because either I'm checking email or phone rings, or, you know, they're all so damn boring that I just would rather look at my phone than talk to them. Any of those reasons. And I'll pull out my phone and they're like, oh, you still got an iPhone? And I'm like, yeah, I've still got an iPhone.
Yeah.
What's the problem? And they're like, well, look at my phone. It's got a bigger screen. It's lighter. It's faster. It's blah, 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 blah. Of which most of the things they tell you aren't true, but still. And then it becomes a pissing contest, feature pissing contest. And it's like, you know what? My phone works. I like my phone. Fuck off. And I've
sure, it can only piss up the wall half as high as yours, but, you know.
Yeah. But
whatever.
Isn't it funny, though, how it's changed in the last 3 years, maybe 2 or 3 years in particular, you know, because it used to just be, the iPhone is the best thing ever, and so on and so forth. And it is still an amazing device. But now I'm getting copping a lot more flack for having an iPhone, and I don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Apple, So the tribes have, they're regrouping, Clinton.
So a quick rundown of the history of Mac versus Windows, and no, I didn't brush up before I started the episode. So the Mac came out in 1980 whatever, and it was around for a few years, and it sort of found a bit of a niche in desktop publishing, and you know, lots of people liked having the GUI. Interface and pushing a mouse around.
It's called GUI. GUI. Sorry.
It was sort of seen as a bit of a toy, because pushing a mouse and looking at like pictures on a screen. Real work is done in the command line.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck you.
Yeah, that's it.
Anyway, then. Windows 3.1 comes out with their own GUI, and I think that would be when Windows really took off, is around that time, because suddenly it's, I don't have much experience with Windows 3.1, but did you still have to fuck around with DOS?
What you did is you added the win.exe to your autoexec.bat file, and it would fire it up automatically when you got into you'd boot to DOS, and then it would fire up the Windows shell.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So once you got it going, there wasn't too much fucking around with DOS anymore.
No.
It was just boot to DOS, load Windows.
Yeah, but you know, it was always Windows 3.1 and 3.11 for workgroups and such was, it was, because that was the first big one that really made it, was the one for workgroups, because it supported all the networking features that you wanted. And that was why when you'd go to the uni, to the IT labs, they'd all be full of computers running Windows 3.11 for workgroups. and that was just the de facto, you know, version there for a few years before 95 came out, of course. And then, you know.
Oh, yeah, 95, that was like the big one where it's suddenly Windows is everywhere.
Yeah.
That's Windows 3.1 when they had the GUI and you didn't have to fuck around with command lines anymore. That's when it starts taking off. And then it goes to 95 and 98 and Windows is unstoppable. So while all this was going on, there was a lawsuit between Microsoft and Apple because they were working together to develop software for the Mac. And while they were doing that, Apple said, hey, here, have a look at all our stuff. And Microsoft has a look at all the stuff, and then they go back to their thing, and they say, oh, we want to develop a GUI for DOS, and we're going to call it Windows. And so there was this legal thing where it's, they're going, oh, you know, Apple's saying, oh, they copied our shit, and Microsoft's saying, no, we didn't. And pretty much, I think they ruled in Apple's favor, but by then it was just like, you know, it's not going to help you, Apple. You've already lost the big fight because everyone's on Microsoft Windows now. Nobody wants to use your stuff anymore. But yeah, part of that was that the Windows couldn't overlap, and something else. They had to change something else. As I said, I didn't brush up on the history before I did this, but.
Well, all I know is that the popularity of Windows was driven by the cost of the hardware, I think, primarily.
Yeah.
Not you know, because the Mac had the GUI first, well and truly, and you know, when they cloned it with Windows 1.0, it just looked horrendous. It was terrible.
Hmm.
You know, and anyway, it took them until 3.11 before they really had a hit product, and even then, you know, hit is perhaps too strong a word. It was Windows 95, as you said, that really took off. But it took off more so because, you know, it was possible then to get, you know, the commodity hardware. So, you know, and cheaper laptops were becoming available at that point. So you had cheap desktops, cheaper laptops all running Windows, as opposed to the Macs, which were, you know, they were going through the clone wars at that point. And, you know, Apple had more or less lost the plot and they'd failed to deliver their next version of their operating system. So they were still stuck with doing their whole bloody Copeland bullshit, which you know, never actually got out to the public. And then there's Rhapsody, and then there was OS X. Or OS X. But anyway, So
Apple lost that round because their hardware was just too expensive.
Yeah.
And then you can get Microsoft Windows on a cheap PC, and you're up and running in a way. So all the businesses, they will, we need some IT infrastructure. What are we going to get? We're going to get Windows because it's cheap and we can do whatever the fuck we want with it. You use Windows at work, you use Windows at school. So you're going to use Windows at home as well. So it just has this sort of effect where you use Windows because you use Windows. Not necessarily because it's the best, and you may not even know about the other alternatives. But there were some people that knew that there were alternatives out there. They knew about the Mac and they knew about Linux. But because Windows was so dominant, it's like, why the fuck would you use a Mac?
Because they look sexy.
Yeah, well, that's the...
Not a compelling reason.
No, well, there's I think I'll get into a personal experience that I've had with platform tribalism because I've always been a Mac user since like 1990 something, and of course I go to school and they've all got Windows PCs and come home and say, oh, I got this Mac, and I really liked the Mac. I liked the way that it worked, when I got into high school, of course, by then the Macs that we were using, they were old and there was like nothing new, but it was still, you know, I still preferred using Mac OS 8.5 to Windows XP, because every time I used it, it's like, oh, fucking 8 XP. But there was a guy that hung around us, in high school, And he was one of these fucking AMD guys who reckoned his shit don't stink because, oh, I've got an AMD Athlon. And, you know, his PC's better than fucking everyone's. So, of course, he has to go around and say, oh, well, what do you have? And, you know, you tell him what you have. And he was like, oh, well, look at my AMD Athlon. It's fucking better than yours. My dick's bigger. Ugh. And, you know, then he comes around to me. And it's like, well, what do you have? And it's like, well, I've got a Mac. Oh, you got a Mac, you fucking faggot. Macs are shit. And it's like, well, fuck you.
Well, exactly.
Hmm.
So
that was possibly the first instance of, like, actual platform tribalism that I come across. Because going back even further than that, my dad's friend, he was a Windows user, and so they get into, like, but it was more playful, because my dad would say to the friend, it's like, oh, yeah, you should get a Mac. It's like, oh, nah, dude, you know, not getting a Mac, and you use this Windows thing. So, and whenever he complained about something with Windows, it's like, you know, you should get a Mac. But yeah, there was just like a playful exchange between friends. But when, you know, it was just some guy that fucking hung around us, and he's like, oh, Macs are shit. And it's like, oh, you know, you're just saying that because you want to make yourself feel better about your fucking name, Deathlon.
Exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess that inevitably at some point, someone has to decide what they're going to use for whatever reason. And like you said, a lot of the training for using Windows came from the office environment. And people just went home because they were used to it. So they'd been trained because they had to be. And then they were sort of stuck with it. And then other people say, oh, yeah, well, I got this because I want to play games on it, and therefore I'm going to start defending it. And it's like, I feel the need to defend my choice.
Mm.
Well, you don't have to defend your damn choice, but all right.
No. Gamers have a thing for defending their choices. It's weird.
That's something you should mention, because you've recently got yourself a gaming PC.
Yeah, well, I'm quite surprised that nobody's given me shit about it.
Do you want me to? I can.
Yeah, give me some shit.
What the hell do you think you're doing? was that convincing? You're not buying. No. You're not buying it, are you?
No. No. Well, you didn't call me a faggot, so.
Well, I would never. First of all, I'd never use that word. Second of all, I wouldn't call you that either. So no. The bottom line is that if you're going to play games, they need to be on a platform that supports the damn games. And unfortunately, the majority of games are still predominantly supported on a PC where you have got access to DirectX, and it's just that's the way it is. And until Macs become more powerful gaming machines or more expandable with graphics options in them, it's always going to be relegated to essentially casual games, I think. So you kind of have no choice.
Well, Macs are already, they're already pretty damn good for games. It's just that Apple, they don't, their base models aren't powerful enough.
No, that's right. Integrated
they
graphics.
Don't have enough RAM. The graphics cards are, they're shit. So, and there's still not enough of them. There are a lot more games that have been made for the Mac, but it's still like indie stuff. There's very few triple A games that are actually day and day released for the Mac. So, you know, that is the reason that I have a PC, because I'm like, well, I want something that's next gen, but neither the Xbox or the PlayStation 4 appealed to me. So I'm like, well, I'm going to go get a PC because everything comes out on PC and I'll have access to this huge back catalogue of games that I'll be able to play. That's why I went out and got that.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it was the right call, right? Because you're going to, and you've now got yourself a nice computer that you're able to run the games you want to run on it. And if you had a Mac, it would simply be more of a pain in the neck. It'd be a whole bunch of games you couldn't play at all.
Yeah. Well, I could use Boot Camp, but the thing that I worked out was, well, I don't use Boot Camp because that's a pain in the ass. I have to stop doing what I'm doing on my Mac and then reboot into Windows, whereas out here, I can still use my Mac and have Windows running at the same time.
The only computer that I can think of, the only Mac computer that I can think of that would make any sense to do boot camp on if you're a hardcore gamer is the Mac Pro. And that isn't even the one that's on sale anymore. The old Mac Pro. Yeah, the cheese grater, as they call the one. I used to have one. And because you can put a custom video card in there. Yeah, you know, and the funny thing...
Actually, having this honking great big tower PC, I really appreciate that old style of Mac Pro. Because I just jammed two more hard drives in here, and I've got room for four more. Yeah, four more drives that I can whack in this thing. Mm. So, fucking hell.
Well, all I know is that I had a Mac Pro. It was a 2009 model, I think. Was the Halem 2.66 gigahertz, if I remember correctly. And anyway, it was a fantastic machine. And I did run boot camp, but when I fired up Crysis, it just didn't... When I fired up Crysis, it just didn't cut the mustard. I couldn't...
Even when it came out, if you had a top-of-the-line PC, Crysis was...
Yeah, I know.
Hardcore.
I could have put a more powerful graphics card in there. But the other thing used to shit me was that if I put a couple of cards in there and I linked them together with Crossfire or SLI, whichever it is, I forget which, that sort of thing, that wasn't supported on the Mac. So it would only work in boot camp. So I'd have to buy multiple cards and chain them together to get the performance I needed, but it would only be of a benefit to the PC side. Now, why on earth would I do that? It sounds like a waste if I'm just, why on earth would I do that? You may as well just get a dedicated gaming PC and be done with it. If you're already resigned to the fact you've got to put friggin' boot camp on, just, get a PC and put boot camp on it anyway. And that's exactly what you've done, which is the right thing to do.
And even then, you're better off not doing any Crossfire shit because not all games support it. My friend Crossfires with two AMD whatever cards, and he gets crazy performance, but it's only on certain... it doesn't on quite a few games, but there are certain games where it's just one GPU only. So it's I've got all this power that I can't use. So you're just better off just, if you want top tier graphics, just get a top tier graphics card.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, but I guess that's the funny thing, isn't it? Because we talk about the platform tribalism, but there's more to it. But people when they think it through, they realize, okay, well, I can't afford to be tribalistic about my choice because of there's a whole bunch of really good reasons why. Therefore, I'm going to have to shrug and just deal with it. Yeah. So, and if that's the case, then that's fine. At least at least people have thought about it then. Whereas, let's be honest, a lot of people, like to think that the compromise is possible. But, I've been there, tried that, didn't work for me. So I don't get that. It's like if you're running a Mac Pro and dual boot, when it's running as a PC, you're not getting any of the advantages of OS X. Why would you do it? There's no time capsule. No time machine, I should say. No whole bunch of extra Mac features that you just don't have. Anyway, so I don't have a PC. Yay. My wife doesn't have a PC anymore. She's also now got herself a MacBook Air. So my house has been PC banished because they're not part of my tribe.
What's your experience of the Mac and PC rivalry? Have you come across any of it? Both back in the day and more recently?
Yes. I think that in my job that I've got, everyone's on a Windows computer because that's what's provided by the company. I'm one of three people that I know of that we bring our own Macs in and we work on our Macs.
Right. And do you get shit for that?
Mostly I get incredulity, actually. Right. But hey, what can I say? It's more of a, you can actually do that? And I'm the only one that actually hacks it into the corporate network. So, anyway. But hey, so maybe one day IT will tap me on the shoulder and say, "Excuse me, sir." I'll be like, "Yeah, man, what's happening?" or words to that effect. And anyway, and then I'll say, right, you fired. And I'm like, okay, it was totally worth it. So, anyway.
I don't think IT has that power.
No, well, no, they don't. But yeah, thankfully.
I'm sure they'd like to have that power.
If they had that power, I would have been sacked already. Probably. Anyway, no, because it's funny because one of the guys over in the software development team has got a Retina MacBook Pro, and it's, you know, the 15-inch top of the line, fully maxed out. Like, I think it's got 16 gig of RAM in it and, you know, terabyte SSD or some shit. It is a very expensive machine, and it's driving three external monitors. And, you know, the thing runs like a charm. It's beautiful. And, yeah, he said that he just prefers to do his development on that rather than on a Windows PC that he's given, which is like a 12-inch Dell shitbox.
Mm.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't cop shit for it, no. And, honestly, I cop more shit from having an iPhone than I cop for having a Mac.
Yeah, well, that's what I find interesting is because back in the day, if you're a Mac user, you would have copped a lot of shit for it. But now, this is just using a Mac.
Yeah, I guess the other thing is that when you're in a work environment, you tend to have to work with what you're given, you know? Yeah. And whereas with phones, that's still a very personal choice. Most people in jobs don't actually get a work phone. Like a mobile, the vast majority of the population, when they work in a full-time job, you know, they don't give you a phone.
No.
So you got to bring your own phone. You want a phone? You know, go get one, which makes it a personal choice, which then I think people start to get tribalistic. It's like, oh, well, I'm going to get an Android phone because all my mates have got Android, or I'm going to get a BlackBerry. Oh, excuse me. Get them while you still can, BlackBerries. I have no idea how much longer they're going to last. But, you know, what I mean? It's that sort of mentality, right? Where,
yeah,
because it's a personal choice. I think that you get less shit for having a Mac these days, though, because so many people like the Mac. And it's like everyone acknowledges that Windows sucks. So if you're at work and you deal with Windows, you want to come home and deal with something that's a bit less stressful. But, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I haven't had that. Really, I've had the iPhone, but that the iPhone Android argument that many times, I'm over it.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Yeah, well, and even with nobody has given me shit for having an iPhone. Probably the most that I've had is that someone will come along and extol the virtues of Android, and so, oh well, Android's better because it's more open. Oh, fuck off. Open does not necessarily equal better. But yeah, that's pretty much the extent of it. I mean, nobody's telling me that my iPhone is shit. Nobody's... I'm just not getting any shit for it, really. It's just they just got to like talk about why they like their phone.
Again, I offer my services to give you shit about it if you'd like. I'll try and be more convincing this time. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's the circles that that we also, you know, circulate in. But I don't know. Ultimately, though, it has to be from a geek point of view, it has to be the one that has the most features or has the best, the coolest features, and so on. And
That's just an ordinary point of view.
I guess
the most recent friend to switch from iOS to Android. Because he comes into me, it's like, oh, I just got this phone. It's like some Sony Xperia shit. And he's the first thing that he shows to me, he's like, oh, check this thing out. It's fucking gimmicky as. And he pulls out the camera and just points it at something. And suddenly there's dinosaurs all over the screen. They're just walking around the place. It's like, cool. That's fucking cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it, like he said, it's the most gimmicky feature ever, but it's still like, this is why, not even this is why my phone is better, but you know, this is one of the reasons that I bought this thing. Check that shit out. It's fucking dinosaurs.
Yeah, dinosaurs rock.
Yeah, so...
eat you and then they don't rock.
Features like that can get people excited.
Facial unlock, man.
Yeah, there's things like that.
100% solid.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It's the gimmicks, right?
And gimmicks will draw people in.
Mm.
And, you know, maybe further down the line, they'll be like, you know, yeah, that was a gimmick. And they acknowledge that. But, you know, right in the shop when they're buying it, and immediately afterwards, it's like, this is the coolest thing ever. I've got the coolest phone. You know, maybe that's what it's all about. It's just like, I have to have the coolest phone.
Well, the other thing that's interesting, though, is that it's when people get all tribalistic about what they're doing with their damn phones and whatever, is that it's not enough to just extol the virtues of why you've got what you've got. You have to deride the competition.
Yes.
You know? So it goes beyond just, you know, oh, my phone is better because, you know, it's got a bigger screen. They then have to tell you what's wrong with your phone.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not just the inverse. It's like, oh, how could you have an Apple product? They lock everything down.
Yeah.
Android's open or something like that. Some of them actually do talk like that. No, maybe they don't. Maybe that's what I hear in my head. But yes, it's a walled garden. It's a very nice garden, but it's a walled garden and therefore bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever. Now, see what I'm doing? I'm ridiculing them, which is in itself tribalistic.
Yes. Well, you recall Tim Cook's comments about Android.
No,
WWDC.
Actually. Oh, those comments at WWDC? Yes. Oh, yeah, now, okay. Right.
Yeah, and he goes, oh, you know, oh, so many of our customers, that they're actually switching from Android. And so they bought an Android phone and they like realized that they made the wrong choice. So they came to iOS and, yeah, we're better.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, they always crow about it.
Mm.
And the truth is, I have met plenty of people that have switched to iOS. They started out on Android because they wanted a smartphone. It was cheap. And then contract comes up and they're like, you know, we're done with this. You know, iPhone is better.
Yeah.
Someone once even said to me that the Android was training wheels for the iPhone. I mean, that was, which is of course a mangling of, I think it was Steve Jobs' comment about the iPod Touch being training wheels for the iPhone.
Right.
But, you know, anyway, I think that was Steve
Wouldn't
Jobs.
Wouldn't the iPhone be training wheels for an iPhone?
Well, yeah. I mean, the iPhone 4S was training wheels for the iPhone 5. And the iPhone 5 was training wheels for the iPhone 5S and 5C. Anyway, all right. So, you know what? I reckon we should move on to a different platform, because I think we've done Mac to Windows to death. And inadvertently, thanks to my inability to stay on topic, have also done iOS and Android. I really think we need to move on to the next platform, if we could, please. Which one do you want to tackle next?
Do you want to talk a little bit about consoles versus PC?
I think so, yeah, because that's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's interesting. Okay, you, I think, know more about it more in recent times than I do. We've done an episode on gaming in the past. I think we've pretty well established my gaming cred. It's right up there with someone who's an ancient dinosaur. So perhaps it's better if you start talking about that one and I can chime in. Because I, at this stage, where would you start? Where do you reckon?
So, consoles versus PC, at the moment, it's a sort of a three-way fight. So it's, usually it's portrayed as Xbox and PlayStation versus PC. And PC is always best. I've brought up on the gaming episode is the glorious PC gaming master race.
Well, I've refreshed my memory. What the hell do you mean by that?
There's a fellow up in Brisbane. He makes some reviews of games. And in, it was a pretty early episode, I think, but he's talking about, I think it was The Witcher. He did an episode on The Witcher and he's complaining about how complicated it was. And you know, the amount of controls that they're on there. And he brought up, well, we don't want those. Of course, it's overly complicated because we don't want those filthy console peasants mucking up the PC, glorious PC gaming master race. And the comment was originally, it was intended to be sarcastic, but people has taken that as a genuine statement that the so from that there has come the glorious PC gaming master race. So that's
weird.
Yeah, well, that's how they view themselves. So I have a PC, therefore I am the chosen one. I'm the best, and you know you're playing consoles. You know,
well, you have a PC now, so you are the best.
Yes, I'm a member of the glorious gaming PC master race.
Fantastic. What do you win? Do you win something? No. Yes, you do. You get to play powerful games, while I get to play sucky ones.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. Oh well. I have no time for games anymore.
It's a terrible. Yeah, so it's all about specs.
Yes.
You know, which machine can be the most powerful? So I think when the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 came out, they were possibly better than PCs at the time. I don't know much about that very early period, but as you go forward, because the consoles age, they don't get their internals don't get updated. So PCs overtake the consoles in terms of performance, and it's this thing. Well, if you want top tier graphics and performance, you get a PC. You don't go out and get an Xbox 360 because that only does 720p that's upscaled to 1080p, and you know, PC can do 60 frames a second and all this other bullshit that you know, people get worked up about. But I'm sort of like, I just want to play a game.
Yeah.
I don't mind if it looks a bit shit. But now you're having the because we're into a new generation of consoles, what you'll see is that there was a thing that my gaming friend posted the other day. He got an email from somewhere. It's like, oh, it's time to join the millions of people who have just jumped to the next generation. And he's like, oh, well, I've already been on the next generation for like years because I have a PC. Fuck you.
Nah. Oh, God.
Yeah, so it's always the PC is always better than the consoles, but then when you get down to there's another. I don't know how much of a shit fight there is. Like, I think it's one sided. As far as I'm aware, it's always PC people ragging on consoles. I don't often see console people ragging on the PC.
No, it's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, because. Possibly because the console people are already busy with their own shit fight, and that's Xbox One versus PlayStation 4. You know, talking about which is the better two out of those ones. And yeah, I haven't been too exposed to that, and I think my perspective on that is. On the current status of that shit fight is skewed at the moment, because when the Xbox One was launched, it was launched as an entertainment device primarily, not as a gaming device. It's like, look, this is a device that you can watch TV on and, you know, watch the football and also it plays games. Whereas the PS4 is a dedicated gaming machine. So that's
well, like, Blu-ray player too.
Yeah, it does. It does other things, but you know, they make it as a gaming device that also does other things. Whereas Microsoft is like, here's a box that does lots of things, also gaming. So, when it was launched, it was very easy for the quotes that were going around at the time is like, oh, Microsoft at the E3 press conference, they've made the decision of which console to buy. Easy, buy a PlayStation 4. So,
well, why not?
Yeah, that's my perspective of it. It's skewed by that announcement. I don't know, now that the consoles are out in the wild, you know, are there
Okay.
Actually, there are, now that I think of it. Yeah. There's, I've seen some GIFs where they're comparing... And these are so fucking funny. They're comparing, like, this is the PlayStation 4 resolution. And it's like, oh, it's 1080p, oh, it's so good. And here's the Xbox One resolution. And just they've made it blurry and pixelated. Like, you know, in news footage where it's, they pixelate someone's face? They've done to the game footage. It's like, this is what you get when you buy an Xbox One.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, because the Xbox One doesn't dedicate as much of its performance to games as the PlayStation 4 does, and it's also got shittier RAM than the PlayStation 4. So there has been... there was one game that came out. It was cross-platform, and they said, well, it's going to be limited to 30 frames per second on the Xbox One, but the PS4 could do 60, because the developers were making it to get the best performance out of the system. So the Xbox One got a lot of shit for that, because it's like, oh, it's not doing 60 frames per second, because whatever. But yeah, so that's... it all comes down to the performance of the systems. There are console-exclusive games, but I don't know that people are sitting there saying, oh, well, you know, the Xbox is better because we've got this game, or the PlayStation is better because we've got this game. I don't see that so much. What I see is just specs. You know, what can run this thing better? And when you're talking about the console versus console and consoles versus PC, well, that's all it is. It's just performance, because, you know, so many of these games are cross-platform. And, it's just... Yeah, my dick's bigger.
Well, it's such BS, isn't it? I mean, ultimately, if you go and do all of this research, you say, I'm going to get myself a PS4, I'm going to get myself an Xbox, or I'm going to get myself a PC. You end up buying the games on those platforms, whatever the games are that you want to play. The only time you've got a dilemma is where you can't get a game for that platform. Mm. That's the only time you've actually got a problem. And all, as for the rest of it, you know, if you can play the game and it's passable... Then what's the problem? Where's the? And yet you're right. People just get their knickers in a knot about it, and they go on saying, "Yeah, well, PC is the best way to go because it's the most powerful." And I don't know. I mean, because even though the hardware on a PC might be more powerful in some respects, you know, DirectX versus the gaming engines that they've got on some of these consoles, you know, the gaming consoles are far more finely tuned, I think. For performance.
Yeah, by the end of a generation, you can get a lot of performance out of the hardware. I mean, you compare a game that was like first launched with the Xbox 360 compared to one that came out at the very end. Right. And yeah, you look at it and go, wow, the difference is just amazing.
Mm.
And it's because they're working with the same hardware all the time, so they can just squeeze every little bit of performance out of it that they possibly can. So that's how they can make amazing games by the end of the generation. But the interesting thing to look at with, because this generation of consoles, it's all off-the-shelf PC parts. You know, consoles at the moment, they're pretty much just dedicated gaming PCs, really, that run custom OSs. Because it's all running AMD stuff. It's all AMD CPUs, AMD graphics cards. And so, you know, it's all x80, well, x64, x86, whatever. You know, it's all that sort of stuff. I think the Xbox One runs DirectX. So, it's, you know, this one, you'll find that a lot of games, they should be a lot easier for developers to port from platform to platform, because it's all the same underlying technology.
Yeah, exactly.
Powering all of them.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that I think the consoles have reached that stage, you know, where it's just too tempting to pull the pieces off of the PC shelves and assemble it and call it a console. you know, rather than doing something highly customized. So I don't know.
You lose money when you do things custom.
Yeah, I know. I know. I see the trade-off and the attraction there. But so in terms of people being tribalistic about it, I guess, you know, what was the latest one? Was the Xbox One versus PS4. Well, I guess they're all consoles, aren't they? But we're doing console versus console.
Yeah, well, that's the current one. You don't... this is something that's interesting with platform tribalism. It's always... There may be other players in a market. You know, you look at cameras. There are so many other brands of cameras. There's Pentax, there's Lumix, there's Sony, and there's Olympus, and there's all these other ones. But it always comes down to Nikon versus Canon. And it's the same thing with gaming. It's... Xbox versus PlayStation, but hey, there's also the Nintendo.
The Nintendo, the Wii, the Wii U that is just the Wii U, flying off the shelves. But it's, I mean, it's just it's really not doing well, is it?
Yeah, but nobody ever sits up there and says, you know, oh, my Wii U is the best because it's got this tablet thing and does all this stuff. It's there's not a...
The truth is that the stupid handheld thing doesn't add enough. It's a gimmick, and it's not even a very good gimmick.
Oh, yeah, well, that's what everyone said about the Wii, but that one worked. The gimmick worked. It was this one.
Well, okay,
the tablet thing doesn't work.
Yeah, but it was pretty evident in the first 12 months that the Wii was out that it was a smash hit.
Yeah.
You know, the Wii U has been out that long, at least longer. And it just isn't getting traction. And I played one of these. I went into a JB's and I went in JB Hi-Fi and went in there and had a play with one with my daughter. And honestly, I didn't get it. It just didn't click to me. So anyway. Okay, so what's next?
Well,
because we've actually touched on a lot of these, either inadvertently or not.
Yeah, we have. I think I've said all that I've had to say about cameras, but...
yeah, there's not much else to say, is there? It's the lenses.
Not really.
The lenses are the thing that shit me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and this is why I've included them as a platform, because if you are buying a DSLR, you are buying into a platform.
Exactly.
Because I've got a Nikon, so I can only get Nikon F-mount lenses. I can't go out there and get a Canon lens and put it on there.
Yeah, and that's what shits me, because some of those telephoto lenses, they're like $2,000 a pop. So once you buy that, that's more than your damn DSLR body.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, lenses are absurdly expensive.
Yeah, I know. Why is that anyway?
Precision
optics or something is more important than the CCD or something?
Yeah, I'd put it down to the optics.
Yeah. Well, all I know is that if you're going to spend that sort of money on optics, you're then locked in, and that kind of sucks. I mean, why can't they just have a common mounting mechanism and interface and shit? How hard could that be, really?
Pretty hard.
No, it isn't. They just don't want to do it.
You're dealing with companies here, John.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Companies aren't people. Or people aren't companies. I'm trying to say something insightful. It's not working. Everything is a technology. Nope. Okay.
Trees aren't.
No, they certainly are. No, it's not working. Sorry. It's too late for me to be insightful at this point. But anyhow, good. Well, honestly, what else have we got?
Well, I will say that... I have had one tribalistic comment against me owning a Nikon, and that's from a Canon shooter. And so, oh, well, you are a Nikon shooter, you know, as if to discredit anything that I, you know, everything that I've said, or, you know, something like that. So,
right,
you know, yeah. Well, I'm just going to hand wave your opinion. You know, yeah, you shoot with a Nikon, don't care.
Well, fair enough. I mean, I honestly, we're going to get banned to why I don't have a DSLR discussion. No, we're not. Yeah. But I want a DSLR. But this is one of the things that prize on my mind when I'm getting one is which platform do I... If at some point I pull the trigger, which one I buy into. Mm. But, you know, honestly, I don't think that...
I bought the one that made me happy.
Yeah, but they're just cameras, man. That's all I know. I don't know all the little differences between them.
Well, here's the differences between them are so little. The particular model that I bought, I sat there and thought, well... Because I found out about the Nikon D5200, and that is a cool camera. I want that camera. But before I just go out and buy it, I'm going to do some research. So I use that as a sort of starting point. I go, okay, I'm looking for cameras that have similar features to this, because there are so many cameras out there. It was really, really hard to narrow the field. So I found one that I liked, and I use that to narrow the field down to what I'm looking for. And I found there's a Canon equivalent that is so similar, it's not funny. The sensor specs were slightly different, but pretty much it produced the same image quality. The Canon one had a touchscreen, and I go, why do I want a touchscreen on a camera? Because, you know, I use the screen to preview how good my image looks, and it's going to be covered up with some finger smudges. Fuck that. But yeah, it was just... those two models were just so similar to each other that I ended up just going with the D5200 because I'm like, it's going to make me happy. You know, if I bought the Canon one, I'm going to be forever thinking that, oh, did I buy the wrong one? So I just went... I just bought the one that was going to make me happy, and that ended up being a good choice.
You're like totally not tribal with your camera. It's basically what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Well, I'm locked into a system now.
Yeah, but that's not tribalism. That's
no.
I'm locked in because I'm locked in.
Yeah.
It's like now. Because
this is the one that I bought.
Yeah, and you need to go out there and start going and evangelize it and say, "Hey, man, if you don't get one of these, I'm going to like beat you over the head with the one I've got because it's really heavy and." Strong or something. I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to give you ideas. I'm an ideas guy.
You could probably concuss people with some of these lenses.
You can concuss yourself. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of those lenses weigh more than the cameras, and you know they've got their own little tripod mounting point on some of them that I've seen. I think, if memory serves, maybe I'm thinking way too far back. Maybe.
No, they still have that.
They do, okay, cool.
And yeah, and that's because we're trying to get the center of gravity right. So if you put the camera body on the tripod, the tripod's just going to fall over, or the tripod head.
Yeah,
you're just going to be, you will never be able to get it in the right position. That's why you put it on the lens, because it's a big, long, heavy lens. So that's where it's perfectly balanced, and you have a much easier time just. You know, getting it to point where you want it to point.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it makes sense, the center of gravity thing, because I guess that would also be very bad for the... be very, very bad for that mount, for the connecting point, because there'd be a lot of stress. If you use the mount on the camera, then they had this honking great big lens, then, you know, turning moments and all that, and it's going to be a lot of stress on that joint, eh?
Mm.
That'd be bad. They'd be like, bad. I mean, you spend, what, $1,000 on the damn body and $2,000 on your lens. You don't want to break it.
No.
Definitely not.
You do not.
So it's like, otherwise I'll be like bent and stuck together forever. Well, I've got a DSLR with interchangeable lenses. I just can't interchange the lenses because I've busted it. Whoops. It's like, I just need to take a macro shot. I'll just get out the telephoto lens because it's stuck on there. No worries, I'll just figure out how to do that then. I'll stand way, way back, and that way I can get my macro shot from 20 meters away.
Yeah.
I am so ready to be a photographer. You can like hear that, hey?
Yeah, we'll just do an indoor portrait shot. I need to cut a hole in the wall.
Yeah, that's it, to get the lighting and distance right. There you go. Anyway. Oh, God. So, I think... I'm not sure how much else there is to say, actually, because I'm looking down the list. We haven't actually talked about Holden and Ford yet.
No.
Do you want to?
Yeah, let's do it. The reason I put it on there, because this is... I'm not a car person, so this seems so ludicrous.
Yeah, but when I was growing up, it was the whole Bathurst thing, right? So the Bathurst 1000's on, and it's like everyone.
There's
was on
a the Top Gear episode, and I can't remember if it was Jeremy Clarkson or Richard Hammond. I'm pretty sure it was Richard Hammond, but he's talking about Bathurst. He called it Bathurst because he doesn't know how to say Bathurst.
Yeah, that's it.
But the way that he described it was the Bathurst 1000 is an enormous punch up between Holden fans and Ford fans.
Yeah.
And a car race happens to break out in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is so perfect.
That is perfectly describes it. Because, yep. I mean, yeah, it's like either you're a Ford guy or you're a Holden guy. And it's like, well, what if I think they both suck and I would rather a Mitsubishi or a Honda or, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because...
A Toyota.
Yeah, or a
Toyota. Volvo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what was the one that was one a few years ago that was really doing well? Was a Nissan, I think.
Mm.
And it was back... It had the four-wheel drive in it. I'm trying to remember which one it was. And it was kicking all their asses.
Yeah.
That was the last time I watched a serious Bathurst. It was a while. That was a while back now. I'm trying to think about how long ago. It would have been probably at least 8 years, maybe.
Mm.
I just haven't kept track. I used to watch it every year when I was younger, like teenager. I used to watch it every year. I even watched the whole thing on multiple occasions, start to finish. So it's just such a crazy racetrack, though, isn't it? I mean, when they're coming over the top of the mountain down the other side, some of those corners, good God.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally would just have to point the car and pray.
Yeah. I haven't seen Bathurst. I've been to Clipsal 500.
Oh, okay.
In Adelaide.
Well, yeah. That's like in Adelaide, which is where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a corporate box.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because the company that my dad worked for, I think it was a partner brand. It was like the parent company owned these two brands of bottle shops. And the other one, they had their own car that they were sponsoring. So, yeah, we got... they're like, hey, would you like to come out to the Clipsal 500? And it's like, yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, that's car racing, man. Fuck that, right?
No, a free corporate box.
Yeah.
We got the tour of the pits and everything.
I'm sorry. You got a tour of the pits?
Yeah.
I hate you. Damn.
We got to see the car when they're doing all their mechanic tuning up shit. Oh. It's like, cool.
Is that the
that's
technical...
That's a car boot.
That's a technical term for, like, mechanical tuning up shit. That's brilliant. I love that. But yeah, look, I'm very, very, very jealous of that. That's not fair.
Yeah.
It's like, it isn't. Well, I mean, it was fair to you. It's just not fair to me.
Hmm.
And you were thinking that at the time. No. Anyhow.
Well, the thing to me, the only exciting parts of the race was maybe the first... All the sideshow stuff that they did, because they had all these classic cars come out on the track and you watched all the classic cars go around. And they'd have guys come out and do stunts on bikes and all sorts of cool shit like that. And there'd be planes going over and all of that was exciting. The only exciting part about the race was maybe the first five laps, because that's when people are most likely to crash.
Sure.
And the very last lap. Because they're just like, yay, now we can find out who won this. It's either going to be a Holden car or a Ford car.
Yeah, exactly. Ah, dear.
Well, so my dad, he asked, I forget who it was, but he asked someone, well, what's the difference between a Falcon and a Commodore? And the guy actually told him, if you look at the back, see where the brake lights are? The Commodore is shaped like this and the Ford is shaped like that. He's just like, That's it. That's how you tell the difference. Yeah. It's like, what's the fucking point?
But Holden's engineered better, man. And Ford's probably engineered better too.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
My friend had a Ford repair kit.
What was that? By Holden?
A baseball bat.
Oh my god!
Yeah, if we have Holden,
it was a product that you could buy. It was called a Ford Repair Kit, and it was a baseball bat and a briefcase.
That is pretty fucking funny.
It was hilarious. Oh,
you do, if there are very Holden or Ford fans listening to this podcast, it's possible. Mm. It's unlikely, but it's possible. They're going to track us down and kill us, man. These guys are fanatical. You don't mess with them, or otherwise they'll get out the the anodized repair kit. But
I'll say one more thing that'll really have four people on wanting to kill me.
Go for it.
I was out in the middle of fucking nowhere one time.
Yeah, that's Adelaide. Sorry, go on.
It was on the highway, and I pulled over to at a rest stop to stretch my legs, because that's what you got to do when you're on a motorbike. And I walked over to they had an undercover park bench that was set up, and of course it's concreted into the park bench is set in concrete. While the concrete was wet, someone came along with a stick and wrote "Fords are shit" into the concrete.
Well, I mean, of course, like, what else are you going to write?
Maybe, Davo was here, or,
Oh, God, that's just too generic.
Like who the fuck's Davo?
Yeah, who the hell is Davo? Come on, Jeez, that's just... But at least now we know that those cars suck. So, that's more... Yeah. That is lasting power, that insult.
So... friend at work, he drives a Ford, and so I took a picture of it and I sent it to him, and it's like, you and the slab of concrete might have a bit of a disagreement.
Well, that's when you get out the jackhammer and you break it up and you pour a fresh slab, and then you write the opposite sentiment.
Yeah, Holden's a shit.
Exactly. And then the balance has been restored to the force and everyone's wasted their time. Fantastic. The system works. Oh, God. I like my Honda. It's nice. It's jazzy. Hence the name Jazz, No. It's really not jazzy, actually. It sounds nothing at all like jazz when the engine's running. That was not even funny.
But I think that the Holden versus Ford thing, it just demonstrates how ludicrous platform tribalism is. How just so, it kind of almost has no reason behind it.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. I mean, I guess it drives ongoing sales and stuff, I guess. But, usual thing. It's not that different, really, from Tim Cook saying, Android sucks ass, or words to that effect, which is really what he's thinking, probably.
Yeah.
It's like people see that and it feeds on that, and it drives that tribalism, and it drives that attitude whereby, I'll always support Holden and I'll always buy a Holden. And it's like, but they got one star in the safety rating. Don't care, it's a Holden.
Yeah.
You're going to die if you crash. Don't care. It's a Holden. So, right. You're one of the nutters. I've heard of you. Okay. Well, you enjoy your, whatever. And I'm not suggesting Holdens have one star safety rates. That is not true. They don't. But, in fact, you'd be hard pressed to find a car for sale on the market today that's got less than four stars safety. So anyway. Well, I don't know about you, mate, but I actually think that we've reached the end of that.
Yeah, I think so. Just, is there any sort of conclusion that we can come to from all this?
I think the conclusion is that human nature is kind of messed up, because we like to think that the platform that we're invested in is the one true platform. Although, I think that's a very generic statement, but a lot of people get sucked in by that shit. They're so convinced that this feature or this aspect of this platform that they're invested in personally is justification for everyone else to want to have the same platform. And that's complete and utter bullshit. There's multiple levels of bullshit. But unfortunately, you know, that just seems to be human nature. Maybe it's just a simplification people make in their brain and they just don't want to think it through or fully explore the other one. I mean, imagine, get a Holden guy and give him a Ford to drive for 6 months. Not just once, like to the corner shop and back. That's if you can find a corner shop anymore because they're all shut now, pretty much. You know, but for a serious period of time and then get them to give you an answer. Which would you prefer, the Holden or the Ford? And you're going to get a very different answer, I think, in that case. So it's all very dismissive. It's all very... people tend to just project how they feel and what they think onto other people and say, you know what, my platform's the best. And it's like, no, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. And a fun argument is had by all. Well, maybe not the fun bit. But an argument anyway.
There are the people who, they are tribalistic about their shit.
Mm.
And then there's kind of people like us where it's, you know.
We'll go whichever way the wind's blowing. We don't give a shit.
Yeah, well, or we.
Or do we?
We acknowledge the flaws that our platform has.
Yeah, well, you got to. I mean, well, otherwise you're going to miss out on the next thing that's better. And that's the curse of being a geek, right? Being on that cutting edge. And the thing is, with something like Holden and Ford, they're big names that have been established for years. And it just the car companies don't just come and go as quickly because they take time to build up, you know, from nothing. You look how long it's taken Tesla to get to a point where they're making a pitiful fraction of the number of cars of someone like GM or Toyota or whoever. You know what I mean? It's like, well... They're nowhere near Toyota. Not even close. They're a fraction of a fraction of their production capacity. So, you know, whereas with Android and with iOS, in the space of time that Tesla has existed, Apple's gone from being the first true fully touchscreen smartphone to being swamped by competition and being essentially overtaken by the competition in terms of their market share. And all of that has happened in about the same amount of time that it's taken Tesla to actually produce about, 35,000 cars? I forget how many they've made. Not a big number. Certainly not in the millions. Like Toyota measured theirs in the million. So, you know what I mean? It's like everything in our space is accelerated because the evolution of technology is faster.
This was Anodize. Don't forget to check out anodizepodcast.com for the show notes, more information on the show, and bonus material. You can find Anodized on Twitter and app.net at Anodize Podcast. If you have any comments or feedback, mention us. You can also head over to anodizepodcast.com/contact to send us something a little bit more in-depth. Thanks for joining me on the show, John. Where can the listeners find you?
Well, they can only find my virtual presence. They won't actually physically find me because I'm hiding. But beyond that, on Twitter, at John Chidgey, and I'll spell that for you if you want, J-O-H-N-C-H-I-D-G-E-Y. Write that down. Actually, it'll be in the show notes. And check my writing at techdistortion.com. I also have a podcast called Pragmatic. And those are pretty much the ways to get a hold of me. So,
you can find me on Twitter at Clinton1550. And you can find my new site at insanelygreat.net.
Which looks fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, it's got the shinies.
Oh, yeah. Brand new shiny. Go check it out. Great stuff on there, too.
Yep. Rate us on iTunes. Leave us a review. Tell your friends about the show. It's the best way to help us out. Thanks very much for listening. We hope you will join us next time.